Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Culture Crush RX, brought to you by Anahata Marketing. This show is an exploration of what makes great company culture and how business leaders can help foster a healthy, happy, well-rounded teams where everyone is performing at their best. And speaking of performing at their best, I'm super excited about today's guest. We're going to talk with Scott Pelton, who is the Chief Performance Officer and founder of Tignum, the world-leading sustainable high human performance development firm. So Tignum helps clients develop performance mindset, and then they support this mindset with performance nutrition, performance movement, performance recovery strategies. I'm going to let Scott tell us a whole lot more, but really, really excited to talk with you, Scott. This company that you have created is super impressive to me, and I think Rob, probably to a lot of other people as well. But I want to start with, tell me what your very first job was.
Ooh, my very first job. It's not going to be very wellness oriented. So my first job was working on a tobacco farm.
Oh.
Yeah. I was a little bit of a troubled child. So my mom sent me away over the summers to work on a tobacco farm. I was the monkey that had to crawl up in the barns and hang tobacco. So yeah, that was my first job.
Well, that's an interesting lead into where you are today.
Yeah. I guess the hard work part of it and the make no excuses, the embrace the suck, and you know, all that fits perfectly with what I do today.
It was a good foundation.
Yeah, it was a great foundation.
Where was the tobacco farm?
In Maryland.
Maryland.
So I grew up in Maryland, which is full of tobacco farms, Maryland, North Carolina,
Virginia.
I did not
know that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Well, from there, definitely, I want to hear, I know that we have a little bit of background on you, that you started as a firefighter before beginning this wonderful company called Tignum. So if you want to give me a little bit of background on that, I'd love to hear it.
So it might even go back a little bit further than that, which was I was a strength and conditioning coach. So when I was at University of Maryland, I loved the idea of coaching and helping people be their best. And then at the time, the only way if you were going to do like cardiac rehab or, you know, work with anyone, you had to go get your EMT, your emergency medical technician.
Okay.
And the only place you could do that was to join a volunteer fire department. You know, nowadays you can go to community colleges, whatever, but then you had to do that. And so it was a funny story that I went there to become an EMT and somehow took a wrong turn and ended up being a firefighter and then becoming an EMT and then becoming a paramedic and then coming out to Phoenix, which was at the time the best fire department in the country to work. So it was a little bit of a side journey that I actually thought might take me about 3 or 4 years, and I would go back, get my master's, my PhD, and continue down my kind of kinesiology, exercise physiology
path. Is that
path.
What you were studying? Yeah.
Yeah. Took a little longer than that.
That's what happens to all of us. I actually started in exercise physiology as well. Didn't I took some turns and twists just to myself. So
yeah, I once saw someone say, you know, if you cannot connect the dots, and yet we all talk to our kids or other people and we say, you know, what's your 5-year plan? Where do you want to be? And then I laugh and I go, you know, actually, I think we actually wrote a blog about it. Everything that I have not planned for has given the most value to me and everyone that I've ever touched. So I'm now
sometimes
I'm like,
that's how the universe works.
Yeah, don't overplan.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good mindset to have.
Yep. Ride the wave. So firefighter for how many years?
25.
25 years as a firefighter here in Phoenix? Or?
Last 20 were here in Phoenix. So I started in Prince George's County, Maryland, and then Alexandria, Virginia. And then heard the fire chief from Phoenix talk, and I thought his name was Alan Brunicini, the most amazing leader I've ever heard. And I literally talk about impact. I looked at my partner who was there with me, my firefighter partner, and I said, I'm going to go work for that guy someday. And he laughed and said, yeah, right. And I packed up my Nissan pickup, didn't know anyone in Phoenix, drove out and became a Phoenix firefighter.
Interesting. So that tells me, though, that your leap to what you are today, you naturally had that kind of, I'm going to go after what I want and get it. That attitude in your mind, huh? Were you aware of it?
Somehow, well, I mean, if you know my family, my mother marched with Martin Luther King. She used to tell, you know, she led all kinds of like women, the evolution of women in business, women in politics, women in everything. So it's hardwired in me that you want to give something back. And so becoming a, you know, whether you're a coach and then you become a firefighter, it's always still a life of service and you really take a lot of pride in that. And so what's funny about it is when I had my, you know, I was at a place where I could retire and I knew that Chief Brunicini was going to retire. And I was thinking, you know, what would I like to do? And I started looking for things. What always popped in my head is I'm a coach. Like, what have I done? Like when I was a captain on a fire truck, I had a training station. Many times I went and worked out at the training academy as either a captain or a division chief. And when I looked at my life, I'm like, I've coached so many people. So I knew somewhere, whatever I was going to do, whatever that would be, would have something to do with helping people and coaching.
Yeah. So let's explain a little bit about what Tignum is. I love your story of how you came up with this. So you've definitely got to share that, how Tignum came to be. So yeah, tell us a little bit about exactly what the company is. I know it's Rule Your Impact is your slogan. I love it. I love everything that you guys represent. So give me a little more background on that everyone can hear.
Thank you. So I can't take credit for the name. That comes from my partner, Yogi Ripple. He's the creative one. So I will tell you this part of it. So he's laying in a hotel bed. He has this idea. His father retires from business and 4 days later gets diagnosed with cancer and a year later dies. And so Yogi coaches his father through that period and realizes, really, there's not much out there to help family members support someone with cancer or cancer patients deal with the diagnosis. So he decides, he was a marketing advertising guy, communications guy, and says, like, I want to take a different path. So he sells his company, goes to IMD Business School and says, how can I do more? So he comes up with this idea of Tignum, and it comes from he's lying in a hotel bed, looks up at the ceiling, sees a beam that holds up the floor above. And he goes, that would be a great name of a company, a beam, like someone that something that nobody sees, but it supports you when you're there. And so he looked up beam on Google, and it turns out there's a lot of companies with the name beam in it. So he looks up the Latin name and it's Tignum. And so we use Beam as a way that we're the behind the scenes people that support our executives and other professionals that want to be their best. But we're also maybe kind of metaphorically a beam of light that illuminates people with new ways of thinking, ways to challenge their current behaviors and habits, things like that. And so that's kind of the idea came from Yogi. The content then came from, what had we done? What was I participating in to develop the mindset of firefighters and fire chiefs and leaders and around, you know, human performance and when you absolutely have to be your best and it's non-negotiable? And how could we take some of those principles and apply them more vastly and broadly to a different population in the executive world? And right. That's where Yogi had a lot of his experience. To be honest, I didn't have any experience in that world. All I had was that I loved to speak. I loved to travel around. I loved to write. And I would go around and ask executives, so tell me, like, what is your day like? Because when you're an exercise physiologist, you analyze an athlete's work and then you develop programs to help them get better at that work. And they would always look at me with like a weird look and they would say, basically, I just put out fires all day. And I thought, that is awesome. How, like, what a great job. But then I would look at their face and I'd realize they didn't think that part was so awesome. And I thought, well, how can I as a fire chief love putting out fires and you as an executive hate it? And the fact is you're paid for that because they would automate your position if it was just management stuff. So obviously your leadership capability is solving complex problems. And so kind of it was the marriage of helping executives fight fires all day and Yogi's wanting to serve and, you know, be Tignum and represent what it stood for. And that's how it started, you know, and literally our paths crossed in, this is embarrassing to say, in a hot tub where we were both working out.
Sounds like
a
Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, we were at a place called Athletes Performance and we were working out and, you know, a guy from Germany and a guy from Phoenix and our paths crossed for 3 days and voila, there's Tignum. It almost sounds a little perverse, but it was lovely.
Yes, it's serendipitous. No, again, it goes back to that you didn't plan for it and there it just happened and it's created something that's really good. Because you guys have been in business for how long now?
So I met Yogi in 2003. We started the business somewhere in the early 2005. But by then we had already kind of really brainstormed a lot. We had gone and presented. I went to IMD Business School in Lausanne, Switzerland. We had presented. So we knew the idea was good. We knew the content was good. We knew our thinking was right. But then our real kickoff was the end of 2005. We worked with the International Olympic Committee mm-hmm. to prepare them for the Torino Winter Games. So you think about the athletes going to the Olympics. Well, there's 80 people that come from the International Olympic Committee that have to run a flawless game in 5 weeks. They have to be their best and it's grueling. And so that was kind of our first gig, which was pretty cool. And then the second one was with the chief HR officer of Unilever, who was leading a huge transformation in the beginning of 2006. And his team was hurting. You know, they looked like the walking wounded. And he said, I got to do something for my people to help them perform, help them be more sustainable. And that was kind of the kickoff, was the beginning of 2006 and just took off from there.
Can you give a little bit more about what were the strategies that you implemented in those two cases, given they may be slightly different than what you guys do today, I guess. But what was it that you went in there and did to help these people succeed?
Yeah, so it would seem to be quite different. But what's funny is if you look at our clients, everywhere from the most elite military special operations groups and leaders that we've worked with to professional athletes and coaches to companies in all sectors from, you know, an Intel, an IBM, a Unilever, a PwC, a Dun & Bradstreet. I mean, all sectors of business. And the common element always is humans. Mm-hmm. So when you really break it down, what do humans need? You know, they need to be able to give energy to each other. They need to have mental agility to be able to be creative and quickly solve problems, even under high pressure. They need to be resilient so they can bounce back from the setbacks they have, because everyone knows, like we discussed, nothing's linear. Mm-hmm. It's always a roller coaster. And so both groups, we would just approach that's what they needed was high human performance and to sustain it for whatever period of time. For Unilever, it was sustain it for over a year. For the IOC, it was for the 5 weeks. But in the end, you know, we kind of approach it in a few big buckets. Number one, the most important is mindset. Mm-hmm. So what is your mindset? We can talk about that in a little bit. Then how do you support that with the right performance nutrition, performance recovery, performance movement strategies? But really, how do you bring all that together to prepare for what we would call your peak performances? So if you look at your calendar, it's full of stuff, mm-hmm. you know, full of events. And the myth that we make, especially as busy executives, is that all of them are of equal value, equal importance. But what you actually find is there are certain ones that are multipliers, certain ones that have the ability to really make a bigger impact. And yet we run into that meeting exactly like we ran into the last five today. And yet our brain is in the wrong meeting and we're not fully present. We're not really who we need to be. And so one of the things we recognized was this opportunity with executives that if they recognize strategically their peak performances, many of which are at home. So they're not all just at work. You know, we always make the joke. Have you ever walked in the house at the end of a day with your on the phone glued to your ear, and your kids come up and you kind of push them away, your spouse comes up, you kind of push her or him away, and how does the rest of that night go? That's a peak performance missed. And so what we started to realize is that if we could get our clients to recognize where these peak performances were, and then to look at what do I need to do before it, during it, and after it to be my best, we could multiply their impact. And that was the whole name of the game, and that's what we do with every client we work with.
Excellent. Yeah. Because you have your tagline of rule your impact.
Yeah. Which has kind of evolved. So in the beginning, I would tell you, especially based on Yogi's story that I just shared, we were probably a little more around wellness oriented. You know, how can we help you feel better, you know, be more well, whatever. What I can tell you is over the years, we've evolved. And now we never use the word wellness, well-being, vitality, health, which is bizarre. Because the side effect of everything we do is it makes you more well, more vital, more healthy.
It's inherent in it, yeah.
Yeah, but our focus is on performance.
Interesting. That's an interesting distinction because I think a lot of us do think of wellness as kind of the key, but that is a little bit vague sometimes, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's not that it's vague. In our mind, it's the wrong paradigm. So here's the paradigm that people often use with wellness. Do this now, which is usually, by the way, not something you want to do. And maybe or maybe not, you may or may not prevent something that you may or may not have gotten anyway 20 years from now. And so people look at you and they go, I'm really busy today. Like, I don't think I have time for that. Or there's certainly no motivation for it.
Okay.
So it's a do this now, maybe or maybe not benefit later. But the way we approach it is actually do this now, benefit now. You know, when I, last night, if I'm looking at doing this as a peak performance, which it clearly is, what do I need to do in my sleep so I show up tomorrow? Well, getting more sleep obviously helps my health, but that wasn't my intention. What should I have for dinner so that I sleep well? What's my go-to breakfast this morning that's going to lead to my best performance? What state do I need to put myself in before I walk in the door? All those are to do now. But by the way, the benefit of all that is hopefully, keep my fingers crossed, it pays off later when I don't get cancer, diabetes, heart disease, obesity, whatever.
Right, right. Well, I mean, we'll get into the mindset, like you said, but in my world, I agree that like your overall wellness, health right now, yeah, that will prevent your cancer and all those diseases in the long run.
Yeah.
Because if you're stressed out and you're not performing at your best or worried about how you're performing, you're not doing yourself any favors. So,
yeah. So take something even like stress, because if you took wellness or well-being, people would say, well, you got to manage your stress, you know, and there's even a huge movement around meditation and things that are about managing stress, managing stress, managing stress. But that, if you really think about the human being, it doesn't make any sense because stress is an evolutionary response that brings out our best performance. It was designed to make us run faster, jump higher, be smarter, fight better. So should we be managing that? Like, shouldn't we learn to channel that to create best performance? And so that's, again, a different thinking. Now,
yes.
In the course of my day, my week, of course, I don't want to be, especially not unconsciously and unintentionally, under a lot of stress. I want to be able to balance, we would say, your autonomic nervous system. But learning how to use that stress at the moment to bring my best performance would be missed if all I did was say, be calm, namaste, you know. And that's right. That's one of those fine, I think, nuances that we recognize, and we I think we probably swim against the tide a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think confidence in the fact that you're performing your best naturally means less of that negative stress, right?
Yeah. So that's a great, so the question is, when you put a negative positive on it, you know, which is a funny model, you know what I mean? Negative positive stress is what you do with it.
Right.
So that's your mindset, you know, your perception of it, the way you perceive it, you know, how you've prepared for it, what you've done before, during, and after.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm very curious though, because you're working with some big time leaders, people that definitely have high power, high stress jobs, but they're very, very busy. What are the strategies? How do you get them to shift that mindset? What do you guys actually do with them?
Yeah. So, I mean, the key, so the foundation of everything we do, I'm going to let the genie out of the bottle, which is probably dangerous, but the foundation of everything we do is built around a concept that basically says human beings cannot outperform our own self-image. At the same time, we are the only animal on earth that can actually create or design our self-image. Most of us don't. Most of us operate off of a default self-image. So the ones that our parents gave us, our siblings, our religion, our culture, our work, society. And so because of that, you have no secure base, because your self-image is constantly being influenced by your Twitter feed, your Facebook, everything else. So we start at the very root of that, the foundation, and say, well, who would you be if you were at your best? And how could you maybe even stretch yourself? And let's design that self-image for you. What does it look like? What does it feel like? And then you can break that down and say, so then what behaviors, choices do you need to make? So we don't even set goals, which is insane. We set one goal: become your to-be vision or your self-image.
Mm-hmm.
All the other goals, if I ask every group I've ever worked with, how many of you have ever set a goal? All the hands go up. How many of you have failed at a goal you set? All the hands go up. So I laugh, I make a joke, and I say, so when you set a goal, 50% of your brain says, yeah, probably not going to happen. Is that really a good place to start this whole process? So why not say, get rid of goals. I have this self-image that I want to create, and I'm committed to it. And all I'm going to ask myself is, what choices should I make today that help me become that? And if I make a choice that doesn't help me become it, that becomes an awareness opportunity to say, maybe I don't want to make that choice anymore, but own it, because it was still a choice I made. Choices feel so much better than goals to me personally.
Yeah.
And I don't need an accountability partner to tell me, which choices did you make? All I need someone to say is, where are you on the journey to become this best self-image of yourself? So everything we do, the mindset we build, the habits you would have in nutrition, in your recovery, in your movement, everything is all built around becoming that better person and showing up all the time. And not in an esoteric way, in a very tangible, behavior-oriented, simple way to do that. And you tie that to the benefits that you get from that, and it's amazing how people will change their behavior effortlessly. So everything we're trying to create is effortless change, habitual change, because habits happen without energy.
Yeah, I love that. That's really interesting. So when you start working with a CEO, or you start an engagement with someone, I mean, it's got to be an ongoing process. How does it do? Or do they come in, work with you for a set period of time? What's the model of that?
Yeah. So we do it all different ways, but the most common way is that a leader and their team would come and meet us somewhere, you know, on an offsite.
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago, it was really nice places. Today, it doesn't seem so nice all the time now. the world's changed, you know, even with the way we get treated. So not we, but just in general, executives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we take this team, we go offsite, we do some testing up front. You know, we learn about their behavioral style. You've talked about the DISC before
DISC
on
stuff.
Here.
Yeah, I love it.
We do a thing called the Sustainable High Performance Index. So we look at their current behaviors and mindset,
is
nutrition,
that something you
recovery.
Guys it developed?
Or? Yeah, that's something we developed and we've used around the world, which we're now evolving into what we call the Sustainable High Impact Ratio. So how do I measure how much impact you make, which is actually, we can talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
And then we take them away for usually 2 days. We introduce them to the concepts. We allow them to experience. We help them build this self-image statement. We help them experience the choice options that they have. So if we talk about power naps, let's all take a nap together. If we talk about different ways to use movement to turn your right and left brain on, or to prepare me for a peak performance, like giving a big presentation or going into a high conflict meeting, let's do the movements. If we teach a breathing technique that can help me focus better or be more creative, let's practice it. So the idea is, you know, we even make food. We do everything, like, you have to live it and experience it. In fact, we even make the first day really long, from 7 in the morning till 9 at night. And everyone's always pissed. They look at us and they're like, I thought this was a work-life balance dig, you know, gig. What's going on? You're keeping us till 9. You start at 7. We said, well, we want to replicate your normal day. So you tell me how long your normal day is and we'll replicate it.
Yeah.
And then at the end of tonight, what I want to ask you is, let's see how you feel. And at the end of the night, what they always say is, how could I still feel so good, be so focused, and then fall asleep on the drop of a dime? I never can do that. Let's look at what we did today. So yeah. If they live it and experience it, that's critical. And then after the 2 days, they've developed their own plan. So it's individual plans because we're all different.
Right.
And then we assign them a coach. And then we coach them for a minimum of 12 weeks. So that's a big part of what we do because you can't just expect that you fly over, drop a bunch of info on people, and they magically adopt it and can apply it.
They can't
go
back to their real life. And yeah, right. There's going to have to be some changes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, in the coaching, you get really real. So it's like, that's where you realize, like, I'll just give you one story. I mean, we just had a client and she had one of the biggest presentations to a new CEO. And basically it was a business where they were evaluating all the different business units for a reorganization. So based on how well she and her team presented her future, she would either be employed, not be employed,
right,
be assigned another role. Her team might have different roles. Her business unit might be disbanded. It was a big deal. And she's preparing for, so we prepare her for that presentation. You know, what are your intentions? How do you want to be perceived? What do you want him to know? What do you want him to feel? How are we going to approach this? What do you need to do before, during, and after? So she's preparing for that. And my last coaching call with her was like on a Thursday. Sunday, she gets a phone call that her mother tried to commit suicide. So that's real life. So that you can have a laboratory, you can sit in a classroom, you can give your philosophy on all these strategies. That's a real thing that real people have to deal with. So you coach her through how to deal with that. She goes in, gives one of the best presentations ever, manages her family, which, as we all know, it has its own interesting dynamics, you know, mm-hmm. brothers, sisters, father, all this other stuff. And all those are high performance moments. So it's a perfect example of how our personal life and our work life, they're so integrated, you right. can't separate them, but the same strategies apply. And then you get a beautiful note on a Friday about what an impact that made and how it impacted her presentation, how she was even able to step back because vulnerability would be a mindset skill we teach, is one of the many skills in our mindset, how she even could share her vulnerability with her team and give them the opportunity to step up and fill in some voids so that she could back off a little bit, and how she dealt with her father and her sister and brother, who all have different behavioral styles and different mm-hmm. needs and different ways of dealing with grief. I mean, her mom was and turned out to be fine, but you know, to deal with the situation, that's what we do well.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's real life. And that's what makes it so fun.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And you mentioned work-life balance. I'm curious your take on that, because I want to say it was Jeff Bezos or some article I saw recently where he was saying it's not work-life balance, it's work-life harmony. And I like the distinction there because, you know, implying that they're two separate things, really. We're one person, right?
Yeah.
You got to show up all the time. So do you guys have a take on that whole balance, harmony, work life, whatever we want to call it?
I like the harmony. I would just say it's all life.
Yeah, right? That's
so,
true.
Because to be honest, like I always make this joke, probably it's not so funny now, but I always say, like, people say, oh, the worst thing you can be doing is working at night, you know, because you have no work-life balance. But I'm passionate about my work and I'm creative and I'm writing something or developing something. And that gives me so much energy. It makes me feel so good and fulfills me, right? Is that worse than sitting on the couch and watching The Bachelorette?
Right.
Like, and I'm not, nothing against The Bachelorette because it's a very entertaining show. But but my point is, in a work-life balance scheme,
right,
doing that work is out of balance. Watching The Bachelorette is in balance. And my point is, it's all silly.
It's all, yeah.
And not only is it silly, you know, my son just left yesterday to go to the military. To think that today I wouldn't have a thought about him and to say, well, you're out of balance. You know, you're thinking about home while you're at work. Like, it's all integrated.
It's all the same.
And let's be honest, our works are doing pretty darn good right now, right? They're consuming our lives. So if anyone says, like, oh, you should feel bad when you do a little bit of home stuff at work, I say, funny, because most companies don't ever feel bad when you're on a Saturday and you're doing a WebEx or, you know, a conference call.
Right.
So I think actually what we should get to, and there's some people that work on this called results-only work environment. It's actually about the impact. It's right. about the results.
Yeah.
Let's even quit talking about where you work, when you work, how long you work.
Right.
I'm so sick of executives. Hey, how are you doing? Ah, oh, man, I'm so busy. Why don't you say, I'm making so much impact?
Yeah.
Or I'm frustrated that I'm not making more impact. Or let's talk about the value we provide and the value we make.
I love that.
So that to me is kind of my take on that. Yeah. It's not about work and life, and it's not about balance. It's probably not even about harmony. It's about enjoying life. It's impact on yourself and impact on others.
Well, isn't that the saying, if you love the work you do, you never work a day in your life?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Now, the reality is, how many of us have that job that's so perfect? But if your mindset is right, what's funny is I find people that can find purpose in working on an assembly line, mm-hmm. doing anything. I've also found people in my 25 years in the fire service that could have a job where people call you on the worst day of their life and you get to go in and impact them and they still retire as miserable people. So I've right. learned that it's not the work that makes any difference. It's actually your mindset about the work, your
Absolutely.
Ability to recover, your, you know, how you really look at the whole thing and in your self-image.
So I love the self-image thing is huge. Yeah. And when you touched on that, what you know, what you describe yourself to be or what you believe yourself to be, whether it's what was programmed into you or if you've shifted it, it's very powerful stuff. Very, very powerful. So are you able to share some of the companies or executives that you've worked with? Or I know there's some, you've yeah. worked with some big people.
I mean, so I probably won't use any names because
yeah, no,
I would
okay.
hate to do that, you know. But
yeah.
But I mean, you know, we work with Novartis, who just came out with an amazing product, Kymriah, which is basically an immunology to fight childhood leukemia.
Wow.
So I mean, that's what's cool is the people that we get to impact create an amazing amount of impact on the world. And then funny story, you know, I coach the father of the girl who was the first patient that got that treatment by just some random connection. And they, you know, they now have the Emily Whitehead Foundation. So a foundation to help other parents who are dealing with this cancer. And with this cancer, bone marrow transplant is the only other option. And when that doesn't work, parents had no other option. So this is an amazing opportunity. They actually take white blood cells out, inject them with a type of HIV, it turns those white blood cells into like warriors. They put them back into the patient and they go after and kill the cancer cells. I mean, it's insane what they're doing. So that would be amazing. We're working with a company, Denali, which is a biotech in South San Francisco that's trying to cure Alzheimer's. I mean, that's an amazing opportunity. You know,
yeah.
a Dun & Bradstreet that deals with, you know, companies' data. We worked with the Oakland Raiders and worked with the coaches, and people would say like, well, how does that fit in with executives? But when you think about it, what is a coach?
Right.
It's an executive who has a team. So if I'm the quarterback coach or if I'm the wide receiver coach or whatever my players are, that's my team. And I'm looking for teachable moments.
Mm-hmm.
And the more focused I am, the more aware I am, the more of an energy giver I am, the more I take advantage and have a bigger impact in those moments. And the coaches that make a bigger impact in those moments, they win. And that's the way it goes, you know? And so, you know, that would be a great one. You know, I said,
yeah.
we work with some of the elite military groups and the leaders, which is always the most fun because it's the most challenging to get up in front of them and see how we can help them. And that's pretty cool. You know, Intel, IBM, Unilever. So, I mean, we have great clients. Like,
yeah.
that's the one thing that's been amazing to me is to be able to travel around the world and just work with amazing people.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are definitely, well, you've had a big impact. That's good. What are some of the biggest challenges that you see in working with these folks? I mean, it sounds so simple to, you know, well, just shift your mindset. But obviously, when they've gotten to that level, are there some challenges that you see with people that are already there that they think they know everything? Or do you have some specific challenges that you can
yeah.
see are obvious with some of those folks? Or
I mean, the most common challenge is they're just so busy.
Yeah.
So how do you actually even get the moment to access? I mean, what we do in our coaching is our coaching sessions are only 30 minutes. So we try to come to them and match that. And our coaching is probably a little bit different than typical executive coaching in that it's not totally open-ended. We have a topic, you know, how do we make them sustainable high impactors? And we're going after it and we're giving advice on how to do that. So we can do that much quicker, which I think that, you know, we try to help that. But when you have busy people who are flying all around the world, who are always on different time zones, so they have complete circadian chaos, and yet you're trying to drop in and say, take 30 more minutes with me and let me see how I can help you. And then they don't really know, like, how can you help me till you help them? And then
mm-hmm.
they're like, oh, I never would have thought of that. You know, that's to me the biggest struggle is how do you take busy people and convince them that they could be less busy, more productive, more efficient, feel better, have a bigger impact, but it's going to take you a little more time. And,
yeah.
you know, it's just, that's a hard one.
Well, yeah, I think it's maybe they're ROI people. So they have to see.
Totally.
They have to see what that ROI is going
to
be.
It's also a funny thing. If you look at, like, we always talk about this, you know, our executives act like they're getting paid by the hour. but they're not getting paid by the hour. They're getting paid by the impact, by the value they drive. So they actually, you're right, they're like, this is time wasted, but it's not. It's actually, it's an investment that multiplies your effectiveness.
Right.
And so it's a big mindset shift we try to get people to make is, you know, sometimes you can get more done by doing less. Sometimes sleeping more. You know, I have a CEO, the CEO of Novartis, who's a rock star. Became a CEO at 41 years old. He's a doctor, a physician. Very rare to have a physician CEO of a pharma company. As crazy as that sounds, it's almost always business driven. Mm-hmm. An amazing passion to reinvent medicine and to redefine healthcare and the relationship with patients. And, you know, when I started working with him, he was near burnout. I mean, he tells the story really, really well. And he now sleeps 9 hours a night. People are like, no. I pick up all the books. CEOs sleep 4 hours a night. You know, they grind. Right. And he's like, you know, it's funny. When I get 9 hours of sleep, I'm so much nicer to be around. I impact people. I inspire people. I think clear. I come up with better ideas. So, you know, it's a perfect example.
It is. I think I've seen a lot of that conversation recently of people, you know, like we all like to say we're busy, but busy doesn't mean you're getting anything done.
Yeah.
It just means you're maybe spinning your wheels or, I think being more efficient with your time and like you said, being more impactful, that's where your power lies. I had another question there and I forgot what it was.
I do think the busy thing is interesting because it's also, I ask you, you know, Deb, how are you doing? Oh my God, I've been so busy. I go, you've been busy. Let me tell you how busy I've been.
It's all a competition.
You know, you say you have 200 emails. Oh, I have 250 emails. You know, oh, I've worked 7 days in a row. Oh, that would be so nice. I've been working 20 days in a row. Like the stories we tell are insane.
Yeah.
And they mean nothing. And that's where, you know, I love when an executive says, you know, how are you doing? Fantastic. I just spent the most amazing weekend with my wife and kids or my husband and my kids. Like I was fully engaged. You know, I was able to turn off. I did my, you know, one of the things we teach is called a work to home transition. You know, how do you transition your brain from being at work to going home? If you think of an athlete, they have an amazing transition. You know, they show up at the stadium in street clothes, then they change and they do a little warm up, then they get a little treatment, then they put the rest of their uniform on. I mean, it takes them 3 hours to get into game mode. You know, the players you see on the field of a football game are not the players that we meet, you know, in the locker room. They're totally different human beings.
Right.
They transition. And yet we go from meeting to meeting to meeting, work to home, home to work, work to vacation without any transition. And then we wonder why you talk about work-life balance. Our brain is just a mess. It doesn't know who I'm supposed to be where. So one of the things we help people do is develop, like, you have a self-image of you as a mother, as a sister, as a daughter, as whatever. And then you have a self-image of you as a CEO or as a whatever your role is. And knowing where you should be at the time is as mindful and as important as anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are some of those like tricks to transition that you might share with somebody?
Yeah. So we actually create a place. So where will I go to do this transition? So for some people, it's like come home, I go into my room, I change my clothes. Maybe I take a shower and I have 5 or 10 minutes to myself where I get to go through kind of a ritual. And in that ritual, I can either do a mental visualization of seeing myself actually maybe this would just be one example, walk across a bridge from where I was, leaving all my work behind where I know I can find it, walking into the house, being very intentional about who I want to be, again, setting my intentions. How do I want to be perceived? What do I want them to know? How do I want them to feel? It's amazing, those three questions, how it transforms your brain. It's what we call a draw-to method. So once my brain says, that's where you wanted me to go, all my behaviors line up to help me get there. If my brain doesn't know where you want me to go, where does it go? It goes back to work. So I'm sitting at the dinner table. I get a moment of silence. I pull my phone out and go, that'll be a good time to maybe check that email. That's not a work-to-home transition. And it's fascinating because I learned this working with Special Operations Group where guys would say, you know, it's really weird when I get deployed, I'm so focused. I'm so in the zone. I feel so confident, so prepared. And then coming home from my deployment, I'm so excited to get home. I can't wait. And then day 6, day 7, I start getting in arguments with my kids and I just get antsy. And then day 8, I get in an argument with my wife and then my wife kicks me out of the house. I go down to the corner bar where I meet the guys from work and we talk about work. And they say, like, is that post-traumatic stress? And I said, no, you have a self-image gap. And they said, what do you mean? I go, you have a self-image of yourself as a warrior. You should. Now you come home. What does a warrior do? They create conflict. So if your self-image doesn't shift, if you don't transition into who you want to be, so they thought just being happy to be home was enough, but that wears off fast because they feel like, I don't know who I am in this new environment. So you help them create a self-image of themselves as fathers, brothers, husbands, hockey coaches. And suddenly their brain goes, why didn't you tell me that's what you wanted me to do? And that's a perfect example of you create that. So like for a lot of our clients, when they business travel, the last 10 minutes of the flight, they tell you to shut down your computer, do whatever. We tell them that's the magic 10 minutes. Now, that 10 minutes, you're going through a transition. You're walking into the door. You're going to see your loved ones or whoever, you know, and let's do a mental imagery. Let's do some breathing. Let's be very purposeful about who we want to be. In fact, maybe you should even have a snack in your bag so you're not like hangry, you know, irritated because your blood sugar's low, and be hydrated so you're not, don't be under the influence of caffeine so you're edgy. You know, do a little more movement. Like instead of, if your gate is right next to the where you're going to meet your spouse and you need a little more time, you know, walk a little bit and get some energy flowing again. You don't get off the plane and be a grouch.
Yeah.
You know, so all these things are little things that add up to be a big deal.
It sounds so simple when you say it, but you were saying that and I was thinking, so guilty of snapping at my kid because I'm trying to check my email when she's just wanting me to be mom, you know? That's powerful, what you just shared right there. I'm going to implement some of that today.
Cool.
Starting now.
She'll appreciate it.
Yeah, exactly. So do you ever work with small businesses as well? Or are you mostly focused on, the top tier CEOs and those big companies? Or
yeah, so we're agnostic. So size of the company doesn't matter. But I will say we're premier. So we're not a cheap solution. So that always makes it a little more difficult, right? For a big company to bring a team of 15 is not a big deal. For a little company, it's a little harder.
Yeah.
But we do work with some smaller companies.
But accessible to anybody who wants to invest in this.
And, you know, I mean, we wrote a book. It's, you know, it's 8 years old now, Sink, Float, or Swim. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a lot. We've had people say, I've read the book and took so much away and applied it. You know, we're just finishing a digital platform that we created, which is a coach in your pocket called Quality of Time, stands for QUAT. We use
that. Yes, yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah, so it's funny, you were talking about busy executives. 7-8 years ago, during the recession, 2008, which was where I always joke, I got my practical MBA. Because if you were a firefighter where you had a guaranteed paycheck and now you're in the middle of a recession where nobody wants to hire you, you're like, this is not something I anticipated. You know, I always thought the paycheck just came. So that was a big education for me, which was great. But we took that time to actually write our book. And at that time, we'd worked with about 2,000 executives. And we started to say that, like, if you look at all the data we collected, you could put them all in one of three buckets. They were either sinkers, which means they were either in a burnout or near a burnout. They were swimmers, which means they were highly engaged, present, focused, and they had great strategies to be that way. Or they were the big group, the majority, which were floaters. They were just trying to keep their head above water, make it through today, make it through this week, make it through this month, this quarter, whatever. And we said, our mission is going to be to move everybody from the left to the right. How do we move everyone towards being a swimmer at work as well as away from work? And so that's one of the things. And so also during that time, we said, well, we probably need to create some digital opportunities because people aren't going to be able to travel as much. But we asked the wrong question. The question we asked is, how can we replicate what we do in person digitally? And the truth is, that's really hard to do. And our model was, that way we can be scalable. And this will be fantastic because we'll be able to make money while we're sitting at home and people are also sitting at home. Today, we look at it differently. We say, what's the number one thing that all of our clients, executives say they need? I wish you were in my pocket all the time. I wish you could just give me that little reminder at the airport. I wish you could tell me right before I go to bed to do my, my bedtime ritual. I wish when I woke up, you would remind me of the movements that you want me to do to get my brain activated and my energy going and how to eat the right breakfast. So what we actually realized is it has nothing to do with being scalable. It has to do with providing those little nudges that everybody needs. And so we created QUAT to be that coach in your pocket. Now, the problem is we have a lot of content and a lot of information. And therefore, it's a complex platform. You know, it could make 11, 12 apps. You know, it's not just like your weather app. You open it, you put your zip code, it tells you the weather.
Right.
So the challenge is, how do we keep simplifying it? How do we keep the front end super simple? How do we keep it learning about you and giving you that information? And so that's really what we're after. And I'd say we're pretty darn close now. I mean, it'll come to the full market probably the beginning of next year. Okay. We're doing tons of pilots now with some of our clients and it's super well received. And, you know, we're trying to tie it to some wearables to be able to collect some real-time data on you. have geo tracking, so it knows when you're going home, and it says, "Oh,
and reminds
Deb,
you.
You're going home. Well, don't forget your daughter. You might want to do your work to home transition, or
that's
you know,
pretty cool.
Yeah, I noticed you're in the airport. You know, Phoenix Sky Harbor. Let me give you a couple great places to eat. You know, I don't know if you know, this would be a great high performance snack while you're on the plane, or you know, that kind of coaching is what people need. But that adds a lot of sophistication, which is a challenge.
Yeah, yeah. Is that going to be something that will be available only to your clients, or?
In the beginning, it's probably going to be with our clients, but it'll quickly be available. I mean, it's already on the App Store, but you couldn't activate it yet, you know. So there's a lot of, I mean, there's so many steps and us trying to learn, because our mission is always, if I had a coaching call today with an executive, how do I take that and try to replicate it with a digital platform? So that's super hard to do. What did I need to know? What questions should I ask? How would I have gone this way or that way? And so that's a little bit of our challenge.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think you'll still have people, though, that would prefer the human interaction over using an app?
I don't think you can completely replace the human interaction.
Yeah.
Maybe some of it we can do, like we were talking about our virtual lab and, you know, and being able to deliver some stuff virtually, because everyone won't be able to afford the time or the ability to come to us.
Right.
So that we think we can do. But then also you can create the human element by helping people create their own network around it, you know?
Right.
So you have your group of friends and you guys can use the tool to help coach each other, share experiences, because the content's there.
Right.
So therefore, you don't need to be a subject matter expert. You need to be a friend, a partner, a coach, you know, a supporter. So that's kind of the goal, is to be able to do that.
Good way to roll your impact is bring more people into it.
Totally.
You're all impacted together.
Yeah. So that's all. That's the question a lot of people ask is, the one thing that all male executives say is, this is what my wife's been telling me for 10 years. When I take this home, she's going to go, how? I've been telling you that. And so that's always funny. And then of course, the idea is, can you bring it together and bring the family along? Because it's all about the ecosystems, right? Mm-hmm. If I can change my team, the reason we love working with teams is I go through this experience, but then my whole team went through this experience. So then we use common language. So if we're talking about reframing our stories, or we developed a tool called the Mindset Shifter, which helps you take a trigger that normally leads to a very real, visceral, emotional response that leads to very low performance self-talk. And if you can shift that based on your self-image and your mindset skills to a completely different dialogue, that shift moves you from reactive to proactive. And it leads you from being out of control, which is a huge mindset killer, to being in control. And so, you know, when we as a team say it's time to do a mindset shift and we've all been through it, it makes sense.
Yeah.
If you stop and go, I need to do a mindset shift, and no one knows the heck you're talking about, it's not as powerful. So this is where, you know, we've made our business by working with teams and helping them create that environment, that ecosystem, that support system, and making it part of everything they do. And that's always the best you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you're working with a company, say you mentioned Intel and Unilever, I mean, they have how many thousands of employees? I don't even know. You're working with their top tier teams. How is it trickling down to their lower level employees?
So sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
So to be honest, sometimes that's the nice thing about what we do, is we can work with one team, because maybe that team is a really critical product launch team and they need human performance support.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, we're like a special missions team that we attach to that team and we help them. Like Denali, when they were doing their IPO, you know, they have a big problem to tackle. They want to solve Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. They need to go raise money. What does that entail? That entails 10 or 15 cities that we're going to travel to within a locked 10-day period with a team of 5 people across 9 or 10 time zones. And every presentation we do, the life or death of our company and our idea depends on it. So that is a very important one, right? So we help, like, let's look at where are your most important meetings? What's going to be the circadian disruption with those? What tools can we use for mindset, nutrition, mood, and recovery and other things to help support that? And, you know, how can we help you show up at your best? How can you collaborate your best so you could play off each other? How can you even use, like, you know, the Tour de France was just on, and you look and they, you know, they often draft off each other. So in a type of presentation like that, you can teach guys and gals how to draft off each other, so that I get to step back and actually do a little breathing, recharge myself, take in a little new information, add value to the conversation. So it's not go, go, go. It's actually a very strategic engagement. And, you know, there was a company that almost doubled what they wanted to get on their IPO. And of course, I'm going to tell you it was because of Tignum.
Of course it was.
They're going to tell you it's because they had brilliant scientists. I'll say right, let's merge maybe, those two.
maybe both.
Yeah, we helped a brilliant team show up at their best. Mm-hmm. And that's if we can do that, we will be happy being Tignum, which is the beam that nobody sees, and that's fantastic.
It's awesome. It's really awesome. So, dang it, I keep on forgetting my questions, and I just had a really great one. What was I going to say? Well, hopefully it will come back to me. I really had a thought about what you were saying with those. I don't know. I'm so enamored with all of the things you're saying. I keep getting lost in my thoughts.
But we can talk about your daughter for a second.
We can talk
daughter,
about
right?
Yeah, I have a daughter. Yeah.
So the one question people always ask is, how can I help my kids?
Yeah.
Because if they could learn these strategies, you know, these sustainable high performance strategies young, wouldn't that be way better? And I always laugh about that because of course that's true, right? But the one way that you can't help your kids is you can't go, you need to drink more water. You need to eat more vegetables because it's good for your microbiome. You need to make sure you get 9 hours sleep. It just doesn't work.
No.
So what's actually funny is what we've learned is the way that we get our kids and our family involved is what we always say is go home and say, I want to change in this way. I want to become this person and I need your help. Would you be willing to help me? And it's always funny that as soon as kids are put into that role, they're all in.
Yeah.
So you get on the floor and say, you know, we have a series of movements called Daily Prep. Daily Prep is a combination of yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, some athletic movements, but it's designed quick, 10 movements, takes you 10 minutes, activates your left and right brain, reduces pain, you know, makes you feel better, helps you focus, gets you ready for the day. And as soon as you lay on the floor and you say, would you help me do my daily prep? Like, make sure I'm doing this right. This is what I'm trying to do. And maybe you take your quad app and you have the video there and it's showing you, your kids are all in. The next day, you're like going to get your coffee and your kids are like, whoa, 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 whoa. Where's our daily prep? Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
And what you learn is like, so I've learned that a long time ago with my kids is, you know, you can't preach to them, but if you ask them to help you, like it's a great way to get your daughter involved.
All right. Well, I hope you're right about that. I don't know. I just moved this past weekend. I asked her to help me with a lot of things and it didn't always go so well. But, you know, maybe I got to try a different strategy. Maybe if I'm telling her she's helping me be better at something, not herself.
Yeah.
Maybe
you shouldn't move in the summer in Phoenix.
Yeah. That's another good tip.
I say that because I just helped my daughter move
in
the summer. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving is not fun, but in the end, sometimes it is. Anyway, so if somebody wants to find you, how do they find you online?
Yeah.
Tignum.com, right?
The easiest way is just www.tignum.com. And,
okay.
You know, we have an office in Phoenix. We have an office in Stuttgart, Germany. We have an office in Berlin. We have coaches all over the world. So we bring in some great coaches. I think our team is amazing. So if you just reach out there, you'll see, you know, you can contact the Phoenix office, one of the Germany offices, whatever, and we'll always get back to people.
Awesome.
And, you know, we have a great blog. I'm going to tell you, I'm extremely biased.
I agree. I read a few of those posts.
Yeah. So it's basically tignumthoughts.com, or you can just go to our website and get it. But what we try to do there is what do we learn from a coaching situation that would apply to many more people?
Mm-hmm.
So we take a story and try to help people, you know, in a page or less. So, but it's
there
very
is
practical.
Some gold
and,
there. Yeah. I actually read through quite a few posts and there's a lot of really valuable stuff.
You know, how do you deal with being overwhelmed? How do you lead through adversity? You know, the one we just did this weekend was, how do you avoid being a cat thrower? You know, so one of our clients were telling us, you know, I come home and it was I said, well, how was your day? And she said, it was one of those days where my cat got on my lap and I just had to throw it off. And I go, that's a great metaphor. Like if you don't even have cats, what is my version of a cat? What do I push away because I didn't show up right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was basically her story and saying, you know, don't be a cat thrower, like show up right.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you can get the most out of life and impact others so much.
I love that. I did remember what my question was a minute ago that I just forgot. When you were talking about, you know, you helped that one team with going out and doing those other presentations. Are your clients typically coming to you and finding you, or how are you guys connecting with these folks? I'm just curious from a business standpoint.
No, it's a great question. So we are 100% word of mouth. We have no marketing, no
sales.
That
means you're doing it right, though.
Yeah.
Right?
But it doesn't mean, it means that I'm a fireman and not an MBA. So my partner's an MBA. Like, interestingly enough, one of the things we said is like, where should we invest our money, right? We should invest our money in, we have a science innovation board. We should be, you know, our four values at Tignum are impact, innovation, freedom, and fun. And so if we want to make impact and innovate, then we should spend our money on getting great people, not going out and having to sell what we do. Nothing in our value system says get rich, be a multi, you know, be a $100 million company. So we said if that happened, it will happen because we did something else right.
Yeah.
And that meant having the freedom then to say, let's not sell our stuff. Let's exceed expectations and let people talk about us.
That's,
so
that's what I mean about doing it right, though.
That's what we've done.
Yeah. If you're staying plenty busy because your clients are recommending you to other clients, then you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope. That's always our mission, you know.
Yeah.
Try to exceed expectations, try to add value, try to help people multiply the impact they can make on the people in their life, you know, be an energy giver, help people collaborate, inspire others to grow, be a role model, help other people win. You know, that's the world we want to live in. And mm-hmm. so like that's nothing gets, I told you about a couple clients, you know, one with, you know, a cancer treatment, one with, you know, Alzheimer's. I mean, that's just two examples. Like, is there anything better than having a client who wants to do something to change the world? We pick one company every year that we do for free. So the last year we did We. I don't know if you know the organization, we.org, but they basically hold events and train young people, teenagers like high school and college kids, how to go out and change the world. So we all expect our politicians, they're not doing a very good job of changing the world in a good way. And so what's better than creating a movement of kids who want to make the world a better place that they're going to own and live in anyway?
Right.
And so we picked them and we basically trained their 2,000 people around the world to be sustainable high performers because they have to go out and interact with these kids. So that's just an example of like some of the fun stuff we do is to be able to pick them. You know, I told you the Emily Whitehead Foundation, mm-hmm. we work with them. You know, so we're always trying to find a great organization that we can help, and we pick one a year, and that's just an example of the kind of company we want to be.
Yeah, I love it because you're living your slogan, Rule Your Impact.
Yeah.
You guys are doing it. Yeah, yeah. No, it's good stuff. Any last little tidbits that you want to add here? Anything we didn't touch on? Things you want to share with anybody that might be listening?
You know, the only thing I would say is just what I found and what I love is this idea that a lot of people think about energy as this thing that's a zero-sum game. So I start the day with, let's say, 100 units of energy, and then everything in the day just takes energy away, and then I come home and see what's left. We fundamentally disagree with that. Like, we actually, the reason we are so love this idea of impact on yourself and impact on others is those moments when you're actually impacting others, those moments when you actually bring your best are energy builders.
Yeah.
So I don't start my day with 100 and try to see how, you know, don't spend it. Make sure to say no to people. You know, that to me is a very kind of small thinking way. And the way we actually look is no, like, my clients always say, you know, I need to learn to say no. And I go, that's interesting because everything good in my life came from saying yes. And every one of my executives, you know, I told you about Voss, who's now the CEO. He said yes a lot. Sometimes it was tough. But then we taught him how to say yes in his way so that it was manageable and that he could still show up at his best. So doesn't mean you have to remove all boundaries and let them consume you,
right. But
you still can say yes. And so one of the things we found is like, don't worry about, am I spending too much energy? Like, do the right things to build your energy, give energy, be an impactor, you know,
a sustainable high impactor. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. I love that. Very good. Well, Scott, awesome conversation. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for
really,
having me.
Really excited to continue to learn more about Tignum. Great company. So hopefully our listeners have got some valuable tidbits out of this. And thank you so much for joining us for Culture Crush RX, sponsored by Anahata Marketing. Very proud to be part of the Phoenix Business Radio X community. And as always, you got to keep an eye on your company culture, because if you don't consciously create it, it will be created for you. Thank you.